Ali Moore. On radio, online, and on digital. The Conversation Hour on 774 ABC Melbourne and on ABC Victoria.
Well, it's that time of the year again. Do you wander aimlessly around the shopping centre trying desperately to find just the right present that doesn't cost too much and isn't a piece of junk? Do you shop online? Do you actually give up on presents altogether? I wonder what your personal rules are for gift giving. A slightly different conversation hour this morning. We want to hear from you. 1300 222 774 is the number, or you can text on 0437 774 774. Are you in the shallow, rampant consumer basket, or are you on the scroogey, penny-pinching side, or are you somewhere in between? What makes a great present? Do you make them at home? And what's important to you about giving? Because, of course, not everybody celebrates Christmas. But what about gift giving more generally? And help me along with this conversation, Jacinta Parsons, co-host this morning and the presenter of the new music show on ABC Local Radio. Hello. This entire conversation hour is your fault.
Oh, I know, because, you know what? Let's just blame John Fain because he's not here.
Yeah, correct.
For all things. Have you been doing that all week?
Yeah, it's so easy. In fact, I called him Ben Fain at one minute.
So I actually heard you do that, and I thought that's all right.
That's a problem. Anyway.
That's a problem.
So you had a conversation with John a little while ago about Christmas buying, and it sort of went from there, didn't it?
It went from there because I have gone through a myriad of different Christmas rules, as you said, Christmas buying rules. So I used to hand make everything. Then I went through you just did a little cock of the head, like, you dear thing.
Did you?
Yes. No, but not well. So nothing was good. And then last year I went through, okay, everything I buy this year will be secondhand. But I wasn't highly skilled at it. So there's lots of, like, old sneakers for the kids and an old toolbox and all this stuff, which was fine. On Christmas morning, it kind of was an interesting experience when they brought me out a brand new surfboard. So I have a brand new surfboard.
And everything else is sort of rusty and old and...
That's right. But there's been very good reflections on that conversation around, well, you don't have to do it badly. You don't have to buy secondhand stuff that is, you know, looking a little sad on Christmas morning, and that maybe there's some other things. We'll probably talk about that.
I think we will. We've got a couple of terrific guests who you will meet in a moment and will help guide us through this hour. But as I said, take part in the conversation. We'd love to hear what you do when it comes to gift giving. 1300 222 774 is the number. First though, Jacinta, you have been at the Meredith Music Festival and even more importantly, rediscovering the joys of camping.
Well, do you know what happened a couple of weeks ago? I found on the side of the road a guy selling swags.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I say that.
Everyone should have a swag.
I didn't have a swag until I met the guy on the side of the road. So I got one
of
the ones.
Was it apropos anything at the time? Or
no.
It was just, oh, I like the look of what you've
got. It has awoken in me a whole other side of myself. It's one of the ones that have got the fly wire up the top and you can, you know,
so you don't even need a tent.
In. You don't need a tent. No. This is the revelation. And you can whip off the cover and pretty much sleep underneath the stars with fly screen, you know, covering
you from. So
you
don't get bitten.
Yeah, you need a little bit of protection. But I took it out. Firstly, I took it out to the Grampians a couple of weeks ago with my kids and had one of those experiences in life where you're like, this actually now is all that makes sense to me. You know, when you kind of leave the hubbub of the world and you go and lie on the dirt for a little bit.
Buy them a swag too, or were they in yours?
I could only afford two swags. So we got one in with me and another one has independent swag life. So I took the swag to Meredith and I had a lovely time. I forgot that there was going to be a hardcore techno kind of running through the middle of the night as I was trying to sleep. But
that's
still,
doof, 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 doof.
the gentle sounds of nature as the birds and the whatever compete with that. But it was beautiful and it just sort of, I feel like I'm entering in my later years into the life where I throw a swag into the back of the ute and just go and drive.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Are you a swag girl?
Look, I'm not a swag person, but I wish when I was substantially younger that I'd had a swag for all those parties or celebrations for the end of school or end of university where I would end up at someone's property. And, you know, one never thought in those days about where one was going to sleep. And often you just end up where you ever ended up. And if I'd had a swag that I could have just, you know, casually unrolled from the back of the car, it would have been quite useful. And but I do have children who now are very much into swags for, you know, horse riding, for example. Terrific to have a swag if you're going to a country show and you've got a get up early in the morning. So, no, they're a great invention. And, you know, if you've ever been through the trauma of trying to put up a tent.
It's really...
Have you ever put up a tent?
Look, I'm developing all these skills later in my life. I'm quite good at the tent these days. But, yeah, it's later on. I think it's okay, Ali. I think maybe there is still a swag experience left in you.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not ruling it out. It's not the swag that bothers me. I think it's the preparation for bed and the getting up in the morning without all the accompanying... You know.
See, this is what's good about it, though. You just have to surrender to the dirt.
Yes,
and
I know.
All of that stuff.
I have a bit of a desire to go glamping. I know that everyone's going to tell me that that's just ridiculous.
Well, it's not. What's a glamp as far as you're concerned? What do you
require? A glamp is not having to carry your own and arriving and having it all set up, preferably somewhere relatively remote, which you might have walked into, and preferably with some sort of bathroom facility. So soft. I did spend a lot of time as a child hiking and living in a tent. So I feel that I've
Did
done
you?
Some time.
You lived in a tent and you
Well, not lived, but, you know, spent a lot of weekends in a tent for a couple of days at a time. So I've done a bit of time. Yeah. Look, I'm sounding like such a lush now. This is really awkward.
I think
can we get back to prisons?
I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way, and it really does come down to the toilet, doesn't it? Like at the end of the day, being able to have good bathroom access is kind of a thing.
It's possibly not so important in summer, and particularly if you're well prepared, but it's difficult when it's cold and you don't want to get up in the middle of the night. I've got a text here saying, get real, Ali. Everyone does have a swag, a beach house, a Porsche, a Picasso. I didn't know that you'd put a swag in the same category as a beach house, a Porsche and a Picasso.
Really?
They're not that expensive. I mean, they're not cheap, but they're not
a
really,
swag?
Really bad compared to a full tent.
Oh, man, I got mine for $50.
There
what
you
are
go.
We talking
was
about?
Was it yours secondhand, recycled?
It was. Sign of the road.
Our next guest will be very impressed with that. We are talking Christmas. We're talking gift giving. What are your rules for gift giving? What makes a terrific present? And what is important to you about it? And to help us with this discussion, you need to join the conversation. And in the studio, we have, well, some experts in the art of gift giving. Tamara Di Martina, hello.
Hello.
Buy Nothing New Month. That's what you found. You're also the creator of the New Joneses. And Pam Anders, Director of Public Engagement at Oxfam Australia. Hello and welcome.
Good morning.
This is a really difficult month if you were trying to do Buy Nothing New.
I disagree. Because I'm really passionate about secondhand stuff and extending the life of existing goods. Like everything I wear, all the furniture in my home, everything is secondhand. It's my default. And I find it just a really beautiful way to do my bit to reduce wasteful consumption.
I should say here, Tamara's beautifully dressed.
Thank
just for
you.
Those who can't
Thank
see you.
You. Yeah, I know. You just have to take Ali's word for it. I am beautifully dressed. It's true. No, but it's a good point. I'm wearing a pair of boots that I bought on an online secondhand shopping platform. They'd be $600 new. I bought them for $50 and they're beautiful quality. They're built to last. Someone else didn't want them for whatever reason. So I hope that I show people that secondhand is not second best. It's a fabulous alternative and it's a way for us to rethink how we're consuming. We live on a planet with finite resources and we're consuming infinitely. So Buy Nothing New Month, I think, is just a really beautiful way to look at how we can do things differently, more resourcefully, and have a lot more fun and enjoyment, use our time better, use our money better.
Do you think, Pam, too much waste at Christmas?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I read recently that the average Australian spends about $1,000 in the lead up to Christmas, and most of that is on gifts. And it's hard to think how all those gifts are going to be kind of consumed within the next 6 or 12 months after Christmas.
The question is, though, you know, sometimes people feel a responsibility to give a present, or, you know, you can't go empty-handed. And then what do you do? Jacinta, I think you've just been really blunt, haven't you? You've said you're just buying stuff this year.
Well, yeah, I've gone from secondhand joy to... Mm-hmm. I guess it is what you said there is really interesting, because I just felt this kind of, oh, sorry, guys, at the end when I'd given stuff that wasn't brand spanking new to the kids, I think. I felt like this, you know, and then they gave me this brand new thing and I felt like, I think we're growing up to feel like new is good and secondhand is not quite, you know, the thing.
I reckon that's because it's been branded or marketed poorly. Because for me, a lot of new stuff, it's really badly made. It's not a lot of new stuff is beautiful. I'm not anti-new at all. But secondhand stuff can be the most beautifully made stuff. It just means someone else had it before. They might not have even used it. It might not have been right for some reason. I did a beautiful campaign a few years ago with a charity store. It wasn't Oxfam, sorry, Pam. But we created a campaign and it was all around the personality behind the stuff that was in the charity store. So we had things like there was a drum kit and the guy who had donated that drum kit, he wrote a little story about it and he said, when we became pregnant, this had to go. So it was like, this drum kit is not rubbish. It's just...
There's a reason for selling.
Yeah, we're making room. We're having a baby now, so I can't be smashing on the drums anymore. And there was a beautiful belt that someone had written the note on when they donated it saying, I wore this on my honeymoon. It just doesn't fit anymore. And like what a lovely story. Like whether they'd had it for 20 years or a year, they'd, you know, their waist had widened, the belt was no good. It was still beautiful, so someone else can have it. So I don't feel it has not been my experience that secondhand is second best, and quite the opposite.
That is such a lovely idea, isn't it? The little bit of a story, because you pick something up in a secondhand shop, and I think it's fair to say, people do say, oh, I just wonder where, like whose feet have been in this pair of boots, that sort of thing. I think to attach a story is a terrific idea. Michael in St Albans. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What do you give?
As little as possible, actually. I agree with everybody there so far that I think Christmas is just... become so commercial, and I went into the shopping centre the other day, and I could count on one hand the number of people that actually looked happy.
they were fulfilling their list.
Stressed to the eyeballs, and a lot of my friends are. But we've had a policy for ages in our family. Under 18, you get a gift. Over 18, you get nothing. Except my mum. My mum has to get something.
We have exactly the same policy in our family,
and
too.
It's usually something that we can sit down and drink together on Christmas Day. so it goes. And then other presents that I give, occasionally I might give a book or something like that, but I've told people right up front, don't buy me a Christmas present because I'm not buying you one. And they go, oh, okay, then thanks. That's actually a relief.
Do you think, though, Michael, though, when you have to buy a gift for someone, you've had to sit down and think about them and, you know, wonder what would be suitable for them? It's a way to kind of show love as well.
Oh, it is. Well, yeah, it is, as long as you're not expected to. And this is the key thing.
Yeah.
If you're expected to, if that's the way you show your love, by buying somebody an expensive gift, well, then maybe you've got the wrong end of the love stick. I don't know. But if you buy something... One of the best gifts you can give somebody is an unexpected gift. It doesn't matter what it's for.
Yeah.
Or receive an unexpected gift from somebody who just said, I was thinking of you and I thought this would be perfect.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful, wonderful gift, and it's just full of love and thoughtfulness. But to actually say, oh, it's Christmas, so I had to buy something, here it is.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't cut it at all. And in fact, and what I prefer to do, and what I do is I volunteer over in East Timor and put in solar power lighting systems with an organisation called ATA. And they've actually got a campaign going on at the moment where you can give a gift to a Timorese family so you can donate some money to put in solar power in a house or something like that. So, and that's what I've been encouraging my friends to do. I said, look, if you desperately want to give me a gift, don't buy anything for me. Mm. Make a donation to here or make a donation to another group, an Oxfam or somebody else, and actually help somebody who really is in need rather than somebody who's already got everything that they probably want because they've just gone out and bought it. And all you're doing is exchanging gifts for things that you don't really want in the first place. So.
Yeah, Michael, it's such a good point. It's a really good thing to put to Pam, actually. I mean, you've got quite a few, I mean, not necessarily, the solar panels is actually a great idea. But you could do it here. I'll contribute to an extra solar panel on your house or something, really.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And as Michael said, it's the thought that counts. And I think the great idea about some of the gifts, and we've got unwrapped cards, which we've had now selling for almost 12 years in Australia, they're the gifts that give twice. And, you know, you can give something like a well, but you can do it in a way in which is kind of a little bit tongue-in-cheek and a little bit cheeky. You know, I think our well card you can actually buy says, you know, I wanted to give you something deep and meaningful, so I got you this well. Or we've got another one that's really popular is about, I wanted to think of the crappiest gift I could give you. And it's actually a card that has a picture of crap, because we love crap. Crap is a great important fertilizer in a lot of the communities we work with. And we have a lot of people who come back and think, that's great, I can show, you know, it's not about expense, it's about the thought that counts. And what's more, this is actually a gift to something else as well, not just you.
Can I be boring and ask just the really practical question? How do you know if you're giving a goat or you're giving a well or you're giving a solar panel that's what you're really giving. And you're not just donating 70% to a charity and 30% to maybe where they think it should go.
Good question. Well, I can say I'm sorry to disappoint. We don't actually gift wrap the goats and send them off. We're very clear about that on our cards. But what we do is we do the gifts that you see and what you can buy, whether it's, you know, a pig or a family of goats or a rooster, they actually go back to livelihood programs. So you can get on our website, you can actually meet some of the communities on the card themselves and explains why this is actually important. Goats, for example, they're a key kind of livelihoods program in one of the countries we work with in Mozambique. We actually, some of our funding goes towards actually empowering those communities to invest in livestock to buy goats. But they're not goats exported from Australia.
What I find interesting too is this year it feels like I've noticed anecdotally that a lot of people are a bit more Christmassy than normal, because I think externally the world is not as stable as we've liked it. Have you seen a change throughout time in terms of how much uptake there is for purchasing things like the goat and the well, depending on what's going on in the world?
Well, you know, I think particularly this year, you know, so many times we have to just look on our smartphones and feel like the world's out of control. And I think, you know, the last 24 hours for listeners who have been watching the tragedy that's unfolding in Aleppo in Syria at the moment, that, you know, don't feel hopeless. You can actually with hope
make a difference.
And you can make a difference in a really normal way, you know, with your gift giving. Think mm-hmm. a little bit differently. You know, I think as Tamara said, it's a great idea. Buy something that's pre-loved, that's, you know, had a life story behind it. Or like Michael suggested, you know, there's a number of charities going to the Oxfam shops. You know, and you can choose a whole range of different products. And I think that way actually you can kind of, you know, just fulfill a little bit of, I guess, anxiety around what's going on around me. I'm actually going to do something a little bit different.
Mm. Quite a few text messages coming in here. And Deb from Ocean Grove says, prefer to be prisoner in my kitchen than an unstoppable shopper. And Jane in Ballarat says, best gifts are vintage secondhand because they are one of a kind. Iz in Eltham. Hi, Iz.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What do you give?
I was just thinking, you know, the moment you start children coming into your life, your whole gift-giving approach almost changes, because, you know, you want to give them something. You know, there's almost a cultural expectation to give around Christmas time, and you want to give them something, but you also don't want to, you know, A, spoil them, you know, B, want to also sort of give them something that's a bit mindful as well, that don't just drive this whole, you know, consumerism as some of your guests have been talking about. And you sort of go, well, what do you do? And I don't know what some of your guests may have done, but I sort of started leaning to think, look, I want to give something, but I don't want them to receive everything all on the same day. I don't know if you've experienced as well with your children. It just seems that they get an onslaught of gifts all on the same day, and they don't know what to play with, what to do with them. And in my personal experience, when I found sort of 6 months later in my son's drawers that there was still an unwrapped or that there was still a wrapped Christmas gift, I thought, no, this is just not right, you know. This whole, you know, Christmas is about giving, and almost just sitting back and thinking, what are you giving, you know? What is your, at the end of the day, the recipient and what they get is, what is that you gave? Having a bit of a think about that.
Yeah, it's Tamara, it does change things when you've got kids, because there is that, you know, you want them to have that experience of unwrapping, but that's, as Iz says, that's really bad when you've got to the point where there's an unwrapped Christmas gift, yeah, you know, ages later.
But I don't have... Full disclosure, I don't have children, but I have 9 beautiful nieces and nephews who I adore. But Ali, you said you want them to have the experience of unwrapping. I don't want them to have the experience of unwrapping. I want them to have the experience of joy and love. Excuse me. What about giving experiences? And I bought the services of a bubble blower, this beautiful bubble artist who came to our home. And I spent more money, I would say, on that one person than I would have if I bought them all crappy plastic toys that they don't need. So I'm really contributing to the economy, so it's not a case of being anti-capitalist or, you know, not spending money. I'm not saying don't spend money. I'm saying let's spend our money beautifully, thoughtfully. And the kids adored it, so we had an hour and a half of all learning how to blow massive bubbles. We have the most magnificent photographs of it. The shrieks of delight from the kids and the adults was just magnificent. And it was an experience, and it was a surprise, and it was a really memorable thing for everyone. Whereas if I just had given them all crappy gifts to unwrap, that wouldn't have been memorable at all. But I also want to give the children in my life the lesson of stuff doesn't make us happy. Mm. And we do know that the more stuff we buy, the more stuff we want. Like, we have this insatiable drive to consume. But if we stop doing that, the less materialistic you are, the more content you become. And the more content you are, the less materialistic. So it's this beautiful sort of catch-22 once you get on that path of consuming thoughtfully and just really thinking, my goodness, most of us are lucky to have enough. Mm. At what point do we go, I really have enough? I don't need
the more. Whole experience thing, I think, is great, though, for adults as well.
Yeah, I've definitely gone down that pathway this year for experiences, because I think it is that, you know, you give something and then it's something that you look forward to that you're going to be doing later on as well. And as you say, there is such that kind of furthering of the experience, like you're having something more than just that momentary opening up, you know, a present.
Yeah.
Like we used to do to my grandma who had Alzheimer's. This is a terrible story, but we used to give her the same present every hour and she was so happy with it every time she opened it.
Anyway, joy every hour.
But I think the experience is not just limited to Christmas Day. I love getting into the spirit of Christmas. So with my two kids, what we've done the last couple of years is we have an advent calendar. And rather than stuffing it with lollies every day, we actually stuff it with a mission. So they get a little note every morning, you know, your mission today is to write a Christmas card for our neighbour. And we do this every day. And it's so good that it works now actually in the reverse. So on the weekend, I forgot to put the note in the advent calendar the night before. So my daughter runs and jumps into bed with me on Sunday morning. She says, Mum, you forgot, but I've written one. Today, your mission is to take me to the zoo.
It's
That's a quick learner.
When you say that, because I can sort of feel like lots of people are under a lot of economic and also just time pressure. Everyone, I think that's a resounding experience of people. So doing that is one of the best things I've heard, but I can imagine a lot of people don't have or don't feel like they've got the time to kind of, you know, handwrite a note for every day of Advent. What are people like that? How do they kind of find a way to have a similar kind of experience, I suppose?
Well, yeah, I think you do need to take a thought. You know, you need to actually, you know, invest a minute or two in actually thinking, what am I going to do into the lead up to Christmas? And you can get loads of ideas, but you can also shop online, you know, or, sorry, Tamara's looking at me. No, you can't. You need to go to a secondhand store.
No,
but,
I'm not.
You know, or no make a gift investment up front and the gift that actually keeps giving. So, you know.
But to spruik Oxfam, why not? Yeah. You're here. You can actually hop online and buy everyone a goat and you're done and dusted. There's none of this last minute running around.
Absolutely.
You
can buy a Christmas tree and you can get it delivered and you can buy your Christmas decorations. You can do it all online and you can actually find out what's the story sitting behind my gift. And that's easy done. I've absolved myself now of that ramp, that experience of drowning in a shopping centre.
But I think Michael also made that point of when he was in the shopping centre, he didn't see anyone who was happy. And who I think so many of us also receive gifts that we don't want or we don't need. So, and Jacinta, you were saying, who has time to do the beautiful advent calendar? I think our time is really valuable and we spend a lot. There's that fabulous quote, I'm probably going to misquote it, but we spend all our time working to earn money, to buy stuff, you know, to buy stuff we don't need, to impress people we don't like. It's like, that's just a bit crazy. If we valued our time more, wouldn't we spend our time, you know, and the money that we've earned in a smarter way and share time and experiences with people rather than running around at Christmas frantically at this shopping centre buying something for this person who doesn't want it, they're going to throw it out, it's going to go to landfill. There is a better way, and we know there's a better way. Mm.
You're listening to Tamara DiMartino, who's the founder of Buy Nothing New Month. Pam Anders is with us in the studio as well, and Jacinta Parsons, my co-host here on the Conversation Hour. Jim in Melton. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I've got two ways of looking at Christmas, and I resolved one issue many years ago when my mother-in-law, as I left the house on Christmas Day, said to me, I didn't get a present this year, and I said, well, you haven't used last year's yet. And she said, what was that? And I said, a burial plot.
Oh, gosh. I hope that was a joke.
Yes, that was. But my present now to everyone, as I say, my presence in your life is my present to you.
And how do they respond to that, Jim?
Well, as adults, I think, as the gentleman said, when you're over 18, we don't give presents, so I just say, well, you know, my presence, my goodness to you during the year is my present to you. And I think the big thing about Christmas, though, is presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, you know. So you think of older people in hospitals and things like that, and young people that are injured in car accidents and that are in hospital, you know, to have someone there at their side. It's their presence in their life that's really important.
Jim, it's such a good point, really, isn't it? I mean, often it's just being going to visit or being around people is as much a present as actually something physical.
And, yeah, being present on those days, like not sort of having your head in every other, in your smartphone even, you know, just actually being there is challenging and probably one of the greatest things you can do.
The other thing that we haven't talked about, and Tamara, it must fit into the Buy Nothing New month, of all the whole idea of buying nothing new, making your own, you know, food in particular. Yeah. That's a terrific one. I've got a couple of texts here about what people have been cooking, and gosh, I really wish I was your friends because it just sounds delicious. But it's a great way of giving something that to people that you care about, showing them you care and giving them something they'll use because they'll eat it.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful way of saying I've actually spent a little bit of time on you, which is to your point earlier, Jacinta. But I make a lot of my own clothes, which I love doing. I'll source things at op shops and make it into stuff. And then once it doesn't fit me, I'll give it to, I've got a whole lot of nieces who they tell me they like it. Maybe they're just learning at a very early age to be diplomatic, but they generally love it because it's something that, you know, no one else has. And I think that's one thing with the way our world has gone with wasteful consumption and too much stuff. I think we all agree we have too much stuff. I mean, I think this year one of the big kahuna burgers at IKEA called this year was the year we hit peak stuff. Like when IKEA is saying that, we've got enough stuff.
But then in the next breath, he said, and we expect something like a 30% increase in sales next year. Go figure.
But he's still making the point. There is too much stuff. We're drowning in stuff. You know, we've got how many shows are there about hoarders? The books on decluttering are so popular and we spend so much money on storage, home storage systems and that sort of thing, or just getting our stuff out of our home and paying someone to hold onto it in another building somewhere else because we have so much stuff.
I have a box called the regifting box, so I put the things that I didn't want to give back, but unfortunately I gave my mum the present that she gave me and I didn't know until she gave it back to me for my birthday.
Did she know?
She knew.
Or did she have
that? So just be very... Write down who gave you that gift.
Regifting is great. And when you regift, just make sure you take the card out so that there's not...
And the inscription on the book.
Indeed. Gabriel in Clayton. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi. I'd just like to put a word in for small retailers in this conversation. December is the only month of the year for a lot of us where we make any money and we do employ people. So I'm all for balance. I myself make a lot of gifts. I do a lot of cooking this time of year. But... you know, we do it tough, and I'd like to send somebody into shops, please, because this is the only time of the year we make money.
Gabriel, it's an absolute fair point. And I guess, though, people can always come into your shop, buy something, and then it can be something that eventually might become secondhand or could be, you know, reused. Yeah. It's got to start somewhere.
But this is the only time of the year we make money, and we do employ fantastic people, and they work hard. And it's really, really tough most of the year. So bring a bit of joy into the stores as well with you when you come to shop.
But it is a fair point, isn't it? And there's something to consider. But I suppose with all those decisions that you make about the shops that you're going into, something like a small business, you know, buying local and actually supporting local businesses is probably as valid in some ways as the secondhand purchasing.
Yeah, definitely. And Gabriel, I completely agree with you. You're doing a wonderful job with your business and supporting your employees, etc. And I think small business really should be supported. And Buy Nothing New Month, just to stress, it's not, we don't say buy nothing new ever again or that new is bad. It's if you like to think about Feb Fast or Dry July, which you take the month off and you just don't drink booze, they're not saying don't drink booze ever again. They're just saying take a month off and just reassess how much you drink and how much do you need to drink, why do you do it, and all of those sorts of things. What's the impact? And so Buy Nothing New Month is very similar. So we certainly would never say don't go and support your local businesses or anything like that. It's just trying to encourage people to think differently. And that is a wonderful message that when you do need stuff, and it is, you know, we do need stuff, go and support a local small business like yours, because it's a really important part of our community. The more we support our local communities, the more resilient we are. Like I love the guys in my local, can I say IGA, they know my name. Whereas if I go to some of the bigger places, it's, you know, it's a different person on the checkout all the time. I love that feel.
But that'll be different for everybody. Local. It might be, another supermarket or another business. But, the point is that you're helping people wherever you go, really, in a way. The dollar does go around.
It is very different. There's that, do you know, I think it's called the local multiplier effect. So if you spend a dollar in a local small business, like Gabrielle's, a lot more of that she will then spend back into the local economy. So she'll employ someone locally. She might get the local print man, and so a lot of that money goes into your economy, the local
economy. As opposed to if you go with a big multinational who's...
Exactly. Yep. Then it's something, you know, and there's a real... there's a tested mechanic around the figures attached to that. So supporting your small local business really is a wonderful thing to do.
Mm. Sandra, you're on EastLink.
Yes, well, we were debating whether to buy presents for the adults or do a Kris Kringle. And what we've decided to do is along the charity line, but something a bit different. Each group of adults is going to do their own research and they will choose a charity. Then when we get together in front of the children, and they're all quite young, each group of adults will tell them and explain about the charity that they've chosen, tell them a bit about it, what they like about it, and we'll all have our turn with our charities. And at the end, the children will vote on which charity they think is the best choice.
What a fabulous idea!
And then we're going to donate the equivalent of each family's Kris Kringle for each other. We will put that together and we will donate that to the charity the kids have chosen. So hopefully that they will learn something from that, but they'll also, have the opportunity to take part in choosing the charity. Yeah,
Sandra,
well,
Pam will be sending you a detailed PowerPoint presentation later on that you can you can give to the family.
Well, I was just going to suggest perhaps a complimentary gift of Oxfam chocolate just to help influence that voting patterns.
But that's a terrific idea because everyone will learn something in the sheer process of researching, not just making the decision.
Well, that's right. And the children, the eldest is only 9, but there are 7 of them and 2 little babies that won't be old enough to understand. But as we're going to continue with this tradition, hopefully, as they get older, they'll all come to understand the principle behind the idea.
No, that's a great idea. And a few texts here, things like books. Books are always handed on or donated to schools or donated to libraries or artisans' markets. That's a great way of supporting your local community. There's lots of Christmas markets that have been popping up of late, you know, all over the state. They're always a good place to go.
And similarly to local businesses, I guess you are. You know, once you kind of give money into those things grow, don't they, artist markets? A lot of artists kind of start building businesses from those sorts of places too.
I do love that thought, though, from just the caller then about teaching, I guess, the next generation the new history of Christmas, so, you know, trialing different things. One of my neighbours told me a story this week about, you know, she was kind of getting sick of just this kind of giving pocket money to the kids and them off kind of, you know, going off and spending it without really a thought. And so she sat down, set these rules and said, right, I'm going to give you $3 a week. $1 you can actually spend on yourself. $1 you put into the piggy bank. And the other dollar you're going to save and we're going to give it away. And we're going to have a conversation in the lead up to Christmas as to which charity or which kind of group of people you want to help with that extra dollar. And I thought that was just fabulous. I'm sending them some Oxfam chocolates as well.
Can I throw that out there? Giving cash.
Oh, Ali, a twist in the tail.
Well, it's a, you know, I can't tell you how often I get asked, you know, what do I buy your kids? And I say, look, really, there's nothing I can. They say, do you mind if I give cash?
What do you say?
Do you know when they were younger, I said, yeah, I do mind. Now that they are older, I think if there is a desire to give a present, it's much more useful to give them something that they will then spend on something that they really want, yeah, as opposed to something that, especially if it's people who don't necessarily know your children that well, then it's a way. Yeah, I've become far less stick in the mud about it.
But do you give cash with conditions? You know, do you just give the kind of cash in the birthday card or the Christmas card, or do you actually say, look, I'm going to give you this amount of money, but the same amount of money I've matched and I've given it to this other charity, you know, I've given it to, you know, to a local business, you know. I think.
So this is what I should be doing, is saying, you get $25 for the charity, $25 for you. So you actually got 50, but you made a good donation on the way. But that's, I think you're teaching me things. This is good.
I just think sometimes cash is a bit too easy. You know, that's my challenge. You know, just like that's my kind of, that's, you know, my lazy way of gift giving. You know, maybe that says that's my own kind of judgment there. But, you know, I think you've got to just spare another thought to add to that. You know, what you're going to do with that cash, or why are you giving that person
but
that cash?
But there's been times in my life where I've got cash and I've had no cash, and it has been an incredible gift where you're alleviated from, you know, financial situations.
Yeah.
I don't mind at all if for wedding gifts, etc., when people ask, can you just give cash because we want to go on a holiday or we have a beautiful painting in mind. I think that's fantastic. Instead of getting 4,000 toasters that they don't need, just help them get something that they really do want.
I'm going off my... Sorry, I know that my nephews can't hear, but you're not just getting cash, you're getting goat and cash. I think it's a
and chocolate, Ali. And chocolate.
Okay, and, well, they'll be okay with that. Maggie on the Murray. Hi, Maggie.
Okay, I make my own. I've been patchworking over the carry bags, you know, from the shops, the plasticky carry bags, not the really thin ones, the thicker ones, and patchwork over them. I've made 14. And I crochet bad hair day hats.
Oh, fantastic.
And I have my own tent.
And you have your own tent.
I have my own tent.
So you don't need a swag. You're okay.
I love a swag. It's so putting up the tent. But it's a very easy teepee tent. And it's very easy to put up.
So, Maggie, do people love having your patchwork bags?
Oh, they're quite surprised because they're quite pretty. And I match up the materials a bit and different shapes and trim them with bows and buttons. And they're quite original.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Thanks, Maggie. That's it. You just need to be a little bit creative, don't you?
And when you look at how everyone's gone mad for mindfulness, colouring in, etc., I think when you're actually making a gift for someone, that's another version of mindfulness. I definitely feel that if I'm cooking or if I'm making a gift or I'm beautifully presenting, wrapping something up, I'm thinking about that thing. So I think making something for people like Maggie's patchwork bags, that's really good for your own sense of well-being rather than rushing to a store and just buying stuff running around.
Now, part of my family went a couple of years ago and just got shells from the beach, not big, you know, shells that you're not meant to take away, just little pippy shells, and got herself a little drill, just a hand drill, made little holes, got some leather and made everyone bracelets and necklaces.
Gorgeous.
Which I thought was a great idea, and everyone loved them and turned them into whatever, and it was not expensive, and it was using what was at hand. And
Beautiful.
Yeah. And you're right, you spend all that time when you're making, thinking about, you know, the people that you're making things for.
Yeah, that's more of a pleasurable way.
I was going to say, Michael's made a very good point. Of course, there's cultural traditions often associated with gift giving, so that in Chinese culture it's normal to give the red envelope of cash, particularly for Lunar New Year, you're expected to give cash, and that you know, works in that instance. The Fred Hollows Foundation, Christian Blind Mission, they've got various ways that you can make a practical gift to those organisations and then let people that know that you've made a donation. And another saying, you know, without Christmas sales, I'd go bust. And also small market stallholders are some of the last people still making products in Australia. So they're good people to support. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does Oxfam source all its... I mean, if you look at your Christmas catalogue, there's actually a huge array of stuff, I'm going to say, on that. But all of it goes back to a source that will be helped by the gift.
Yeah, it does. There's a really fantastic story behind pretty much any product you pick up in an Oxfam shop. And, you know, I think at last count, there was about 132 different communities that sit behind the products. And you're right, Ali, there's lots of stuff in there. You can find pretty much a gift for anyone. And if you can't find the gift you want, you can buy an unwrapped card. But I think, you know, it's not just about, you know, going into the Oxfam shop. I think to go to your callers earlier, you know, it's actually about, you know, trying to just take a balanced and, you know, kind of just calm, take a deep breath about Christmas, you know. Think about what you're doing. If it means, you know, going to your local shops and supporting, you know, the local jobs and the local kind of, you know, corner store, that's great. But, you know, think a little bit differently and outside the square, whether it's baking or cooking, or for me, I don't have time. You know, I want to go and do something that actually kind of helps me kind of, I guess, have a guilt-free Christmas. So go into the Oxfam shop or go online and buy something. You can spend a little amount or you can spend a lot.
What I really loved getting onto the Oxfam website was also the power that we have as consumers into where we put our money and how we actually make significant shifts in the culture of stuff and how it's made. There's a naughty and a nice list of manufacturing that is on there, which I think It feels really empowering to be able to, like, you know, really choose another option. There are so many options.
That's tracing
that we can
the source of your product.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Well, this is, I think, the third or fourth year we've published a naughty or nice list, and it's essentially kind of just calling out those companies who are actually taking kind of the first steps to understanding where the clothes that they're selling are coming from. And I think what's really interesting, and Tamara and I were talking about this earlier, is, you know, it's always had been really a popular list, but I think this year it's probably gone to another level. We're seeing a lot of people and supporters that have come to us kind of wanting to understand a bit deeper, you know, well, why is Kmart on the nice list? And I can buy a kind of $4 shirt. And I think, wow, we weren't having that conversation 3 years ago. So I think something's shifting out there around people are thinking a little bit about where we're buying our goods from and what's actually the story behind that. And for us, the naughty or nice list is very much saying, look, this is not, you know, an absolute endorsement of all these brands. What it's saying is that, you know, for many of the women and the children in the communities that we work with, and particularly those countries like Bangladesh and Cambodia and Vietnam where we work, and the garment industry is a really important part of the local economy. What we don't understand enough is about the working conditions. What we do know is most of those garment factory workers are kind of children, are women, and they're living below the poverty line. And unless we can actually start to open up, I think, the market that, you know, sources clothes from those factories, understand, you know, put some retail pressure. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give that information out there. So if you want to make informed choices about where you're going, that there's some evidence behind, you know, behind that conversation.
I think we're making real progress in that. I mean, as you say, there are still, you know, naughty companies or nasty companies, but we know a lot more now than we did even a year ago, really, in terms of where things are made. Mm. And that's a really good sign.
Yeah. I just want to make the point that I don't think it's necessarily about naughty or nice companies or people doing the wrong thing, as you know, the businesses. I think, Jacinta, you made the point before, as people who buy stuff, I don't like to be called a consumer because I think that I'm a friend, I'm an auntie, I'm all these things. I really don't like when people refer to us, our community, and people as consumers.
But I'm sorry, Tamara.
No.
I'm sorry, I am a consumer.
I just think that frames us. That frames us in a silly way. Like, I'm not here to consume. Yeah. But I think that we do have power as people who buy stuff. The point that you made, Jacinta, I think, is a really beautiful one. Everyone's so busy, and not everyone has time to research into who's doing this or who's doing that. But there are some really simple switches we can all make, like whether it's your choice of energy company, look into it. It's not going to make the slightest bit of difference to you, but then by switching to a company that's doing better and supporting them, you're having a real impact. Same thing with your toilet paper. There's a fantastic toilet paper you can buy where they then support water sanitation projects in, you know, third and fourth world countries. What a wonderful way to make a simple switch when you're on the dunny and you're not going to know the difference, but someone else on the other side of the world that you'll never know, you're impacting their lives. So I just think that's a beautiful way for us to see that the power that we have in our pocket, we can really impact change.
1-300-222-774 is the number if you'd like to join us. Val in East Bentley. Hi, Val.
Good morning, girls. I think you're doing a wonderful job this morning. Can I give a hint for Christmas presents for grandmas? I'm 84 and I've had Christmas for many years. And grandmas don't want any more hand cream, don't want any more stuff. What they really need is time. They want your time. Drop in and have a cup of tea with Grandma. Or don't take her a present. Take her for a drive. Give her some time. Pull a weed. Lift things up where she can't reach. Grandmas need time.
Oh, Val, that's such a good point, isn't it? You know, and I think that applies for so many people. In fact, I heard there's a wonderful story at the moment that is on the ABC website, and it's about older people who have got dogs and they're very close to their animals, but they can't necessarily walk them or bath them or do some of those things. And so there's
and
a whole
need time.
And they need time, but there's a whole group of people who are there to help with the dogs. So, and that's it. I mean, kids could do that. I just think it's such a good point, Val. Thank you very much for calling.
That's all right.
Have you got a big family?
I have a big family. I have 10 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren, and I love them all, but I don't see them all that often. I see some of them regularly, but I would love to spend some time with them.
Well, let's hope that they're listening, Val, and all those other grandchildren out there. Think about your grandparents. It's a very good point.
And at the heart of it all, it is about that, isn't it? We're finding ways to connect with each other at the bottom, isn't it? That's really what it is. How do we reflect each other to each other through the way encounter each other? And it's such an interesting time to be thinking about really basic things like time, you know?
And I think I'm absolutely guilty of not thinking, of just thinking, not necessarily having a list, but just thinking, I've got to do that person, that person, that person, that person, done, you know. And not, and that's, that is so bad, because as you're saying, I could actually save an enormous amount of time by hopping online, but then doing something far more. I'm feeling very chastised this morning. Sarah in Sunbury. Hi, Sarah.
Yes, hello. Good morning. I just wanted to say that my mother and myself, both seniors, she's 82, I'm 62. These days, because we're lucky enough to have all the essentials that we need and even more, we say to each other, cannot, sorry, consume it, as in eat it, drink it, or use it up, then don't buy it.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I only give consumables. And that's I was just saying earlier that I had a present from my best friend, and it was just all the lovely little things that I like to eat that she'd put together herself. And well, I shouldn't tell her, but I reckon it's going to be consumed by the end of today. But never mind. But yeah, consumable. That's
good
a
gift.
That's a good gift, though,
it's
isn't
a great
it?
Gift. Yeah, it's a thoughtful gift.
Yeah. Mm.
And here, I think Joy, you have got fantastic idea.
Oh, thank you.
That's only because I know what you're going to say.
Oh,
what's the idea?
You must have done. Yes. Look, I've started giving personal little gift vouchers to friends, saying, I'll look after your children for a weekend, or if you have elderly relatives or a relative in a nursing home, I'll visit them for 4 visits so you can have a month's break, or I'll clean someone's house for them if they're out.
I reckon that's
work.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I want to make friends with Joy.
Yeah. I've done that.
Well,
and do you know what's really good?
Too many. More
no, you, yes, you've probably got enough. You can only do so many.
Look, maybe take someone to a show of their choice during the year, or just so that, and it's lovely, you buy lovely little gift cards and handwrite them so they get a personal little gift voucher. And I think that's, to me, what Christmas is about. It's giving. Giving back.
I completely agree. Enjoy what I think is wonderful about that, because I've done that quite a bit myself.
Oh, okay.
Most people never cash in the vouchers.
But do you remind them? Don't forget, yeah. I said I'd babysit that 5-year-old for you.
Yes.
You know?
No, I've done them a lot for my goddaughter, and she's divine. She keeps them all, and she'll bring them out and say, I'm going to do this one now and that one. But no, a lot of people just never cash them in, and I don't remind them.
No, I'm an easy person.
That's right. I just realised our family is actually getting together and doing each other's gardens for Christmas. So we're spending a day in each other's houses. I forgot. I'm actually not so bad after all.
How many days is that going to take you?
Well, we'll spread it out over 12 months. But we'll just, like, there's probably 3 different houses that we'll go and spend some time in. It's always much more fun to clean someone else's house than your own.
Well, your Christmas shopping's done.
Done. I know. That family sorted. Yeah.
That's great. Absolutely. I've got a couple of texts here. Kate says that she's just finished hand sewing and decorating 23 stockings for my grade 1 class. Loved every minute of it, and the kids are so grateful. Mm. Kate, that is amazing.
Wow.
23. Gosh, I'm so glad you don't teach 2 classes, because you'd have absolutely no time. Another saying, I'm loving this conversation. We've got 2 little ones, and I love the suggestions you're making about giving back and starting these traditions early in life. Mm. And that's the point that you were making, Tamara, is that you've got to get in there early with the fact that you know, there's not a expectation that it has to be mountains of presents.
Oh, yeah, Well, there's just so many other ways to give, as we've discussed, and as all the calls have kind of concurred. It doesn't just have to be a thing.
And also the fact that family stands in front of each other and talks about a charity, it's almost like what both of you talk about. It gives that human and that personal connection to things that sometimes feel very outside of us. So, you know, knowing that you're giving a goat, you understand what it is. It's not just money into the abyss. Or hearing it, that there's a story behind the pair of shoes, kind of, it's that connection, isn't it?
You could even turn it into like a charades thing. Guess the charity. Like, I'm doing this, this and this. Which one do you think it is, you know?
Or maybe guess the animal behind
it. Yeah, absolutely.
One of our unwrapped shoppers wrote us back this lovely little story a couple of years ago, and it was the Christmas after the Victorian fires. And it was this quote, and I've got it here. My 81-year-old mum, who lost her beloved chickens in the Victorian floods in 2011, was absolutely delighted to know a family had received chickens on behalf of that at Christmas. It made her year. Mm. And I think that just speaks to the connection behind the gift.
Mm. Margie in Upway. Hi, Margie.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Great conversation. Just wanted to mention that I ask for a fix-it gift. So something to be fixed, so it can be jewellery, clothing, electrical items that have obviously broken during the year. And I ask for the recipient if they've got something that needs to be fixed as well. It just sort of keeps other people employed, but also, you know, it doesn't clutter your house with new things. It's stuff that you'd like to have working again, but
It probably prompts you to fix things that you may just put in the back of the cupboard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All those things that clutter right behind, you know, the things that are right up in the top cupboard that you'll, you know, fix one day and you never do. So.
And do people like it? Do they get enthused? And
oh, look, it's great. It's great. I've had my partner actually last year got jewellery fixed for me at the local jeweller. Kept them very busy, and it was fabulous because I hadn't worn these items for a very long time. So I thought that's one way of actually, you know, still having the things in the cupboard without buying more consumables.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. We are almost out of time, but I'm just going to try and squeeze in one more call. Leonie in Cavendish. Hi, Leonie.
Hi. I give throughout the year with humour, and the one for the Christmas that I've been giving people is there's a horrible, stressful disease that always happens around about Christmas, particularly to women, and some people actually get hives. Have I invited all the family? Are they arguing with each other? Have I given the right presents? Have I spent too much money? Is there enough food? It's called tinselitis.
Oh. Oh dear, Leonie, that's very funny. And it is, look, for lots of people it is a bit like that, but fantastic. You guys, you have given us so many suggestions for what we can do for a really happy Christmas. We have got 30 seconds. I'm going to put you all on the spot. Tamara, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, a better world. I know it sounds pathetic, but I really do. That's all I want.
Pam, what about you? You can't top that, so you have to go something else.
Well, I've got my eye on the new range of chocolate in the Oxfam shops.
I want the chocolate, and I also want some emotional cards from my children. I've asked for that. Good luck. Oh. You know, I want you to tell me how much you love me. That's what I need.
That's not going to cost them anything. Gosh, I hope they were listening, Jacinta. If not, I'll have a word to them for you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jacinta Parsons, my co-host this morning. Tamara DiMartino, who is the founder of Buy Nothing New Month, and also the creator of the New Joneses. And you can look at both of those things by searching them on the web. And Pam Anders, who's the Director of Public Engagement with Oxfam Australia. And thank you for taking part. Happy Christmas or gift giving generally. Thanks for listening.
The Conversation Hour podcasts are available at abc.net.au/Melbourne. Subscribe now and you'll receive automatic updates with special guests, interesting interviews. It's a bit of fun. You'll be mad not to subscribe. abc.net.au/Melbourne.